we'll go to the report and possible discussion on annual audit report by Paget, Spaten and Company.
Yes, as you all may remember, we, the board selected a new auditor, not only for the retirement plan, but for the Brazos River Authority audit just this last period. And Paget Strademan is the new auditor. This is Mike O'Brien, who's a partner with Paget Strademan. And the first task they had was to do the audit on the retirement plan. They've actually started the audit of the BRA also, but this is the report on audit of the retirement plan. And I believe y'all have a draft of it in your diligence. So I'll let Mike go ahead and go through that.
Good morning. Under tab three, I believe, is a draft of the actual financial statements. And the financial statements are actually prepared by Matt Wheelis and your accounting staff, and we are doing the audit. So I'll briefly walk you through the financial statements. But first, let me just go over some of the things auditors communicate to the board, regarding our audit is, you have engaged us to audit the plan. We've substantially completed that, ready to issue our report, which would be an unqualified opinion on the financial statements. That's what you'd like to hear from your auditor. When we audit the financial statements, we are looking for, fair presentation in accordance with the accounting principles. We do review internal controls to make sure there's not any what we call material weaknesses, but we're not auditing the system of internal controls in order to give an opinion on those controls. There weren't any changes in accounting principles during the year and no new principles that were required to be adopted. In the financial statements themselves, the only significant estimates or actuarial information, which you got an actuarial report on, in the accounting standards, there are some required disclosures about actuarial information. So we do review those in the financial statements, make sure that they're consistent with the actuarial report that the plans receive. There weren't any significant difficulties in performing the audit. We didn't have any audit adjustments, and there aren't any past audit difference. In other words, immaterial items that we came across that we decided didn't need to be reported because they were immaterial. So it was a very clean process. And there weren't any disputes or disagreement with management over any auditing or accounting matters.
It sounded like it was no fun.
It was. it was okay. It was for the first year, we didn't expect there to be any fireworks, so that's good. But that's the stuff is all what you'd like to hear from your auditor when you come and give an audit report. I'll quickly go through the financial statements. Matt, is the preparer. If there's any detailed questions, you might want to kick some to him. But on the second page is our actual auditor report. That's what we're responsible for, providing, the authority. And I know it looks long, but it basically says, we audit financial statements. They're fairly presented in conformity with the accounting rules. The very last paragraph there on management discussion and analysis, there is required supplementary information, which is on pages 3 through 5. That is intended to be a kind of a plain English sort of discussion that management provides for the financial statements. That is required by Governmental Accounting Standards Board requirements. We do review that. We don't give an opinion on it because it's unaudited information, but we do review it to make sure that there's nothing in there that's inconsistent with any of our understanding. All the the numbers, of course, are consistent with the financial statements, and there is a specified format that the accounting rules have, so we make sure it's all in compliance. So we've done that and didn't have any concerns. Your balance sheet, which, the statement of financial position is on page 7. You just received a report, on investments. So This is as of the plan year end, February 28th, so of course the numbers have changed. Remember, this is a snapshot on one day in time, and you can see it does break down the two different components, the defined benefit component and defined contribution component into different sections. The next
can I
page.
Ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
You do other audits?
Yes.
Of these times?
Yes, sir.
This is a dramatic decrease. We all know the market's been terrible and so forth and so on. On a range of decreases, is this in keeping with what you've seen in most others?
It is, actually. You know, you're seeing in the 20 to 30% decrease, so, unfortunately. The next page, of course, you can see the flow through. That's the statement of changes in plan net assets on page 8. You know, that shows the flow through from the beginning of the year to the end of the year in the net assets. And, you know, there was a $7.4 million decrease in plan net assets, mainly driven by the, at the very top of the page, the top half of the page, you can see the net depreciation in fair value of almost $6.5 million. The rest of the financial statements, there's a lot of footnotes that I won't go through, but it explains all the accounting policies. It gives you a little more detail of the investments, which you just heard a report on. And then there's a lot of actuarial information toward the back that gives participants some information about the, you know, the current funded status, et cetera. And all that, of course, complies with the, you know, the appropriate accounting and disclosure rules.
So there were no recommendations?
No. No, ma'am. That completes my report. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any discussion or questions?
I have a question.
Yes.
So based upon your report, I guess this is a February month-end report, we're fully funded.
That would be an actuarial calculation, and you can see back here in the footnotes there's actuarial data. You know, the funding status is really dealt with from an actuarial basis, not a.
So you're the issue of funding the plan is not addressed here in this report.
Technically, on the balance sheet, that's correct.
Okay.
It's a market value presentation at one point in time. The funding issue comes in from the actuarial status.
But in your footnote, did you not address it? My problem is I've read so much on all these presentations, I can't remember who addressed what.
Well, if you go back to page 17 of the financial statements, there's a whole footnote on funded status.
Which one is that? Our numbers are not the same as
yours.
Note
G. You keep going toward the back.
A lot of NAs.
It's 81 on ours, Jennifer.
Sorry.
81, yeah.
81. So the actuarial assumption is that we make a 7.5% return, but we actually made about a negative 25 or 30, somewhere in there.
And not that I'm an actuary, but that, of course, is assuming a long-term sort of return. But go up to the previous page to that.
And let me make one point, too. You see a lot of NAs on various things, and the reason when they talk about percentage of covered payroll and various things, the reason why you have those is because this plan is frozen. This plan was frozen a year and a half ago. So there is no payroll really to accompany this that you normally have on an ongoing plan. So that's why you have those NAs, that there's no percentage of covered payroll, because there is no payroll now, that because there's no active participation. I mean, they're clearly the employees are still members of it, but it's not ongoing from that standpoint.
Footnote, in your note G, it does reflect that it's a funding ratio.
That's right.
So is it fair to assume that that's about 15% underfunded? Should I ask the actuaries that question?
Yes, that's the way I read that, and I think that's that's the reason why that information is there, so you can see that.
And while he's looking at percentage, I'm looking at 3.6 million.
Right.
Okay. So if the snapshot in time was February, not today, we're saying we need to make a 3.6 million contribution to make this whole.
Well, yes, but remember, when you're looking at that table, that's an actuarial value of assets, not a fair value of assets. The actuarial value is higher than the fair value because of the smoothing techniques that actuaries use. So if you looked at the actual fair value of the assets on the balance sheet, what was it?
I want to say 16 or 17.
16 and a half.
Right. Yeah. So from a fair value standpoint, because this is actuarial disclosure information, yeah. The difference is 7 million.
But the actuarial is what we're looking forward, looking at going forward.
Right.
And what we're saying is using that smoothing technique, we've got to have these funds to pay the people the benefits in the long haul.
Right. And assuming you can meet that long-term rate of return assumption, et cetera, et cetera.
John, I noticed the administrative fee were about $75,000. What the plant frozen?
The majority of those fees are with the Merrill Lynch BlackRock. Is the majority of those fees is just the investment. About $45,000 of that is on their side, and then the other are the trustees are part of that, as well as the audit fees we were talking about here.
So all those fees are lumped into this
yes,
one report.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And when we're looking at their $45,000, what is that percentage wise?
That comes out to be.
It's less than 1%.
Yeah, yes. Yes.
But their return.
I misspoke. Pardon me. No, it's about 45 basis points is what their. Is what their fees, and Jeff, you might be able to confirm that. I think it's about 45 basis points of value is what it is. Their fees are actually higher than that. They're closer to $80,000 or $90,000 a year. Of course, it's gone down because the value's gone down most recently.
As I remember, it's 45 basis points on equities and 35% base on fixed income and 10 cents a share. That's the number I remember.
I don't have one of the billings that we provide on a quarterly basis, but I think you're in there real close, sir, right? There is it's 10 cents on equity.
Yes, sure. Right? Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's higher. The 45 basis points I was talking about was really a blended. It's really a blended number that I was using, which is both fixed. So equity's higher than that, and fixed income is lower than that.
And there's one more add-on to that. Get all that number, and there's a 10% discount on that number.
Okay, you take total all those up, and then take 10% discount off of that.
Yes, sir.
Any further discussion?
Oh, no. I wasn't going to make a proposal. I was just going to say that this probably is a good time to say that this is Warren Buffett's, one of the examples of Warren Buffett's comment on investment advisors. And all due respect, the market's been brutal to us, but the investment advisors are going to make their money, whether they perform or not, whether they trade 50% of our equities, turn them over and upside down. They have an incentive to do that in some respect. Warren Buffett's real hard on those guys. And here's an example where we've got experts trading our retirement monies and yielding, you know, a negative return because the market's brutal. I mean, it's doing it to everybody. But we still have a pretty, you know, we have an expense in it. And I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer to it, but it's just an unfortunate time for us all.
Well, I think the alternative is use non-experts to trade, and I'm not sure that's good either.
They've actually made more money than the experts.
Thank you.
Thank you.